from where you can also download it as a podcast.
On BBC Two.
Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, you're going to be rich.
The filmmaker Vanessa Engel investigates wealth coaching and the success it can bring.
I have properties that I've never seen. I've got properties throughout the world.
A thriving industry in the UK, but at what cost?
How much do you owe on your credit card to all the courses that you've been on?
£4,000.
Money. Who wants to be a millionaire? This Tuesday night at 9 on BBC Two.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news from Ian Skelly.
The Schools Minister, Nick Gibb, has repeated a warning to public sector unions planning a strike on Wednesday that an improved offer on pensions could be withdrawn. About 2 million workers, including teachers, health workers and immigration staff, are expected to walk out. Thousands of non-emergency operations and outpatient appointments will be postponed. Education officials estimate that two-thirds of schools will be closed. NATO says it's investigating and paying the highest attention to a claim by the Pakistan military that at least 26 Pakistani soldiers have been killed in an attack by NATO helicopters on a border checkpost with Afghanistan. Pakistani officials say a key supply route for NATO is being shut down in protest. At least 14 people have died in a series of bomb attacks in and around Baghdad in Iraq. The first two devices were detonated west of the city near the town of Abu Ghraib. A few hours later, three bombs exploded in the centre of the capital itself. There have been more clashes in the Egyptian capital Cairo between protesters demanding an end to military rule and the police. One man died when he was hit by a military vehicle. The protesters were trying to block an entrance to a government building to prevent the new Prime Minister, Kamal Ghansouri, gaining access. The interim chief executive of Thomas Cook has said a new refinancing deal will make the travel firm stronger in the years ahead. Sam Vaihagen has agreed a £100 million extension to an existing overdraft with the banks. The travel company says sells more than 22 million holidays in the UK every year. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, looks set to secure a second term in office after the opposition Labour Party acknowledged defeat in the general election. Mr Key's centre-right National Party will need to find coalition partners to secure a majority in Parliament. And the weather for this afternoon, it'll be very breezy in the north with potentially damaging gusts of wind. There'll be rain in the west of the UK, which will be persistent and heavy in the northwest. It'll be driest and brightest throughout the south and the east. And that's the BBC News and the weather. It's 3 minutes past one.
And time for the early music show. Here's Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show and highlights from a concert given at last summer's York Early Music Festival. The performers are the English Concert, directed by Harry Bickett, and they were joined by the soprano Lucy Crowe, who I'll be chatting to throughout the programme. The concert was based around Handel, his early years when he first came to England in 1710. He'd been travelling around Italy for some 4 years and was now keen to make his mark in London, where Italian music was very much in vogue. Audiences had already been won over by the likes of Corelli and Vivaldi, and continuing in the same tradition, Handel produced two sets of Concerti Grossi. We're going to hear number 2 in B-flat, which gives the oboe quite a bit to do, particularly in the second movement, the Largo, where it rises out of the rippling texture in a plaintive, almost operatic solo. And it's prominent again in the last two dance movements, a minuet and a gavotte.
Thank you.
Handel's Concerto Grosso in B-flat, Opus 3, No. 2, performed by the English Concert, directed by Harry Bickett, and the oboe was played there by Katarina Spreckelson. The concert also featured music that Handel had composed whilst he was in Italy and then brought with him to England. The soprano Lucy Crowe has recently recorded a CD of some of this early Handel repertoire, and I asked her whether you can sense a sort of youthful feel about it.
I think you can tell when you listen to early Handel that it is early. Certainly, it's still incredibly beautiful, quirky music. But when you hear later arias that he's written, you do feel there's a sense of graduation or development. But there's something, for me, quite exciting about early Handel in that something happens out of nowhere, slightly a bit more than later Handel, which I think, you know, you can understand it a little bit more.
Lucy Crowe. And in a moment, we'll hear her sing Handel's cantata Alpestre Monte. It isn't a piece I'm familiar with, so what's it about?
Alpestre Monte was one of the first compositions, I think, that Handel wrote when he was in Italy. It tells the story of a man, actually, who's hopelessly wandering around desolate mountain areas and forests, bemoaning his fate and complaining about his cold-hearted nymph lover, Nietzsche. He's so distraught that he resolves to commit suicide. And in the final aria, he actually asks her, please, will you just come and visit my grave? I've given you tears, but now I'm also offering you my blood. So it's really quite a harrowing and sad cantata. But what I love about it is this incredibly calm resignation. There's such peace. He's really accepted that he's going to die and he can't live his life without her. I also love the fact that he also is aware that these issues that he's facing, these real problems of angst and horror that he's going through, aren't just about her. He also states that I know that these horrors are also in my mind as well. They're in my mind and my heart. So I feel like he's aware that he has issues, basically.
It's quite a modern sort of concept, really, I think, psychologically, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. You know, someone asked me recently, how can you sort of get to the heart of these emotions? But to me, they're very much on the surface. You know, the words speak for themselves. The music does. The music is incredibly beautiful, incredibly melancholy, but it does also have this sense of positivity about it, which makes me believe that he's not actually scared of dying. If anything, he's comforted by the thought and he's looking forward to peace in death.
Thank you.
In alpine mountains and solitary woods, a grieving lover wishes for death. Lucy Crowe was the soprano in that early Handel cantata Alpestre Monte, and we'll hear more from her later. The English Concert is certainly one of the UK's longest established orchestras. Formed back in the early 1970s by harpsichordist Trevor Pinnock, it enjoyed enormous success. And since 2007, it's been directed by the Liverpool-born harpsichordist, organist and conductor Harry Bickett. They continue to perform at the very highest level all over the world. And we'll hear them now in an oboe concerto by Alessandro Marcello, who was living and working in Venice when Handel was there on his tour of Italy. One of two composer brothers from a noble family, Alessandro wrote a variety of works, but it's his concertos he's best known for today. In particular, the oboe concerto we're going to hear now, which was published in 1717. And not long after, was taken up by Bach, who turned it into a glorious harpsichord concerto. The oboe leads off from the beginning with a series of pithy, almost conversational themes, but really takes centre stage in the middle slow movement before the chirpy triple time finale.
Thank you.
Oboe Concerto in D Minor by Alessandro Marcello. Caterina Spreckelson was the soloist there with the English concert directed by Harry Bickett. Well, time for some more singing now, as soprano Lucy Crowe joins the orchestra for two arias from Handel's opera Agrippina. This is considered to be his first operatic masterpiece, and it caused a sensation when it was first performed in Venice in 1709. I asked Lucy to tell us about the arias she's chosen to sing.
Well, the two arias that we performed in this concert are sung by Poppaea, who is really a minx who's all out to get whatever she can have. She's really quite manipulative. I think she's rather clever, quite intelligent woman, but she really can get what she likes because she's rather beautiful and rather sassy. She flirts a lot to be able to, you know, get what she wants with the men. And in this aria, Vaghe Perle, it's really a sort of vanity aria. It's saying, you know, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, and this means I can get what I want. You know, I can adorn myself with pearls and flowers and look fabulous, and virtually, you know, any man's going to want me.
Can you hear in the music that very girly feel?
Yes, there's actually quite a cheekiness about it, really, a sort of cockiness to it. And the sort of triplets we hear her singing, the runs that sort of go up and then cascade down. You hear that music and you can tell that she's quite a minx, but there's also, you know, a lot going on up there. The second aria is very much in contrast to the first one we hear, the Vaghe Perle. In the first one, we hear all her confidence, a real positivity, and we can sense that she's very assured and aware that she's going to achieve so much. In this one, we really get to hear her anger, se giungiun dispetto. She's really quite annoyed. She's annoyed with Ottone. She believes that he's been untrue. You can hear it's really fast coloratura. It's actually incredibly exciting. And in that fast coloratura, you can hear her anger and her strength, actually, as well, because as much as she's angry, you detect this real strength of character, as in, I feel a bit beaten now, but there's no way I'm going to let this overcome me.
So here's Lucy Crowe and the English concert with those two rather contrasting arias, Vaghe Perle, followed by Se giungiun dispetto, both from Handel's Agrippina.
Oh,
Lucy Crowe was the soprano soloist with the English concert directed by Harry Bickett and two arias from Handel's Agrippina. And that was the official end to their concert, but they came back to give the audience a beautiful encore. So, to end today's programme, one of Handel's most famous arias, and I'll let Lucy introduce it herself.
I think it's quite nice to end a concert like this on something so well known, but also that brings with it even more pressure because everybody does seem to know it. Lascia ch'io pianga from Rinaldo is very simple in its composition, but that's almost what makes it so incredibly beautiful and I think why it moves people so much. She's in chains and she's asking to be freed. She's desperate, she's crying, and through her tears she's singing, "Let me weep, and please just unchain me." It's so intense, and you can hear this sadness and this almost, as I, you know, discussed in another piece, there was a sort of calm resignation and you knew that you're going to die. I can almost sense this in Lascia ch'io pianga. It's almost like she's lost hope.
the aria Lascia ch'io pianga from Handel's opera Rinaldo, sung by Lucy Crowe, with the English concert directed by Harry Bickett. And it ends today's early music show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping. Tomorrow she'll be presenting a profile of the 18th century Scottish composer James Oswald. That's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3.
A service for Advent with carols. BBC Radio 3 takes you to the Chapel of St John's, Cambridge, and an Advent carol service for the first Sunday of the season. Plus the first performance of a new carol by Jonathan Harvey. The run-up to Christmas begins. A service for Advent with carols, live from Cambridge, tomorrow afternoon from 4 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Well, now I have a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall. It's introduced by Sarah Walker.
Welcome to Wigmore Hall for a concert of chamber music by two highly contrasting composers. Our performers today are the Jerusalem Quartet, former members of Radio 3's New Generation Artists Scheme, and they'll be playing Debussy's String Quartet in G minor, a piece which combines classical form with an impressionist sensibility. Before that, we'll hear Mozart's Quartet in D minor, K421. It's one of a set of six which Mozart dedicated to his friend Haydn and which inspired great praise from the older composer. According to him, the music showed that Mozart had taste and, what's more, the most profound knowledge of composition. The D minor quartet we'll hear is certainly a sophisticated work. The first movement has a graceful main theme, and later on Mozart treats us to touches of contrapuntal complexity. That's followed by an andante movement, then a vigorous minuet. And the finale is a set of variations on a lilting melody borrowed from one of Haydn's own quartets. So coming onto the stage now to play Mozart's String Quartet in D minor, K421, the Jerusalem Quartet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.